Let us pray. Father, I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take. Thank God he undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. I want to address my remarks this morning upon the subject, the fallibility of Rome's infallibility. Rome makes a tall claim. She claims that our teaching and doctrines never change, that they are always the same. She proclaims that from apostolic times, she has always taught the same doctrines. To those who point out the many changing in her teachings, the many changes in her teaching down the centuries, she cries out, perish the thought. I am the never-changing church. No wonder Protestantism has indicted Rome with claiming to speak the truth when indeed she blatantly speaks the falsehoods. This being clearly so, it is no wonder that from time to times there's a great uncovering of her lying and deceit, and she stands impaled before the whole world for her attitudes and her sins. The claim to infallibility by the Church of Rome is contained in her official church statements. One of them, made by Cardinal Gibbons, was largely approved to a very strong manner by the Pope, in which she claims that she is the infallible, non-changing Roman Catholic Church. And of course, the Roman Catholic people are taught that when the priest speaks with the authority of the church, he is speaking the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And the indictment of the scripture of those that love to make a lie and speak the lie is, of course, the indictment of the whole Roman Catholic system of priestcraft. There is only one sentence that condemns them all, and that is they have departed from this book, and this book is God's eternal, unchanging truth, and any departure from it is the devil's lie. In reading the propaganda of the Roman Catholic Church, in reading her attempt to make herself infallible and without sin and without anything that is not the whole truth and nothing but the truth, is an amazing scene in history. And we were reading today the whole history of the Roman Catholic Church in that 16th chapter, the 17th chapter of Revelation. And in a few terse sentences, the Spirit of God exposes Rome for what she is. No wonder the Roman Catholic Church wants to cut that chapter out of the Bible. And no wonder ecumenism in our day has cut it out and refuses to read it or accept it. On this question of infallibility, where in the Bible do we read such a doctrine? It is not found there. In fact, the very opposite is found in the Scriptures, that the church is not infallible, and the church has sinned, has fallen into many errors, and has turned away from the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to her own deceptions. And there is a whole catalog of dates in history when Rome publicly said one thing, contradicting what was said by the same church in another epoch, and yet they both claimed that they were infallible statements. And of course, we are told that Peter was given this special privilege to be the first infallible Pope. But isn't it strange that if that is so, Paul didn't recognize him? Because Paul said that he denounced Peter. And he said Peter was in the act of dissimulation. Think of it. The Apostle Paul, who under the Spirit of God wrote most of the New Testament, tells us that this Peter of the imagination of the Roman Catholic Church, that this Peter is infallible. And yet, Paul says, I rebuked Peter before them all, for he was to be blamed. So here we have the Apostle Paul standing up and looking into what the Roman Catholic Church says was the face of the first Pope, and he rebuked him. And then he not only rebuked him, but he told Peter, you are not the leader of the Gentile believers. God did not use you to bring them into the church. I, says Paul, am the leader of the Gentile Christians, and you, your office was to look after the converts from the Jewish line and the Jewish family. And so we have set out clearly in God's word and with distinctness and with plainness that the whole fabric of Romanism is a lie, a deceit, and a delusion of the pit of hell itself. No church has ever awakened as has been the awakening in the Roman Catholic people during the past weeks. When it has been seen that the holiness which Rome claims is a lie, that the doctrines that she tells us are the doctrines of infallibility, are seen to what there are to be a real deception. But what is more, those that pretend to the sanctity of the church are living in the greatest possible sin. A sin so terrible that it will call out upon them the vengeance of God. How many young lives have been destroyed? How many families have been wrecked? How accursed is this church which covers up the worst possible sins in the destroying of the smallest possible children. What a terrible sin they must answer for. Has this infallible Pope Benedict, what has he done? He talks about making an apology. But the people who have suffered are saying now it's not an apology that is needed. There has to be a root and branch destruction that this matter should never happen again. But strange to relate, we are told now that if some bishops and archbishops are going to be removed, they will still keep their title. They will still draw their money, and they will still be recognized to have all the infallibility that they always had under the teaching of Rome. Will Rome cleanse itself? Never. It cannot be cleansed. Rome's destiny is judgment. And what a judgment it is going to be. I can see out there in the history of the world, the young boys especially, who have been destroyed by the priests of Rome, who have taken a young life and made that young life a hell upon this earth, until that young life is twisted and defiled and smashed by the evil of these priests. And then I have seen the church come down and cover it up. The greatest cover up in history we have seen. And those that said things about the Church of Rome were maligned as being liars and haters of the truth. But those that called us liars and haters of the truth have now been revealed as those that lived in the darkest place of sin and delighted themselves by the power of the priesthood to destroy and maim a whole generation of youth. using the schools in which they taught to practice their vileness, to use the pupils that were put under them in good faith. Those pupils were taken, and they were taken as meat for the cruelty and the sinfulness of those who vowed that they would smash them and smash them forever. And then the Pope is talking about an apology. And the Church of England are talking about the Pope coming here, and they're going to let him preach in one of their largest cathedrals. I'd like to see it. I want to tell you that it will not be Protestant societies and evangelical churches who will go for the Pope if he comes. It will be the Roman Catholic people themselves, because they are absolutely disgusted. I went into the library at Stormont and I said to the librarian, "Get me out all the stuff that you have in past days upon what people, Roman Catholic journalists have said about the Church of Rome." And they handed me a huge bundle. And I never read in all my life of what these editors and paper masters had to say about the Church of Rome. And as I sat back and read that language, I said, these are the people that lambasted every Protestant preacher that stood up for truth and cleanness and purity, and now they have had to admit that we were right, and that the Church of Rome was a cesspool of absolute devilry itself. Strange things are going to be exposed in the coming days. And of course, some people have said, will the Pope come to Ireland? I'd like to see him coming. I'd like to see the Pope coming to Ireland at the present time. I'm telling you, he had been made short shift of, not in Belfast, but in Dublin. I saw one very prominent newspaper, which is in the gentility of newspapers, and its editorial was that the Church of Rome now needs to not only go, but never again can the possibility be given for any priest to ever act in this matter, because they will be all shifted from their positions and they will taste what they made young people to taste in loneliness and isolation and in the bitterness of being found out. An infallible church? No. An infallible church that is absolutely fallible? Yes. That's the picture of the Church of Rome today. But this picture of the Church of Rome should arouse us. Because there are Roman Catholics today that have been brought reluctantly to have to admit the sins of the church. What is the remedy for these people? They must now be confronted with the gospel of Christ. And if ever there was a need for Protestant people who are saved by the grace of God, to pray for the Roman Catholic fellow countrymen. This is the time. The Lord can work mysteriously and mightily by his own mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. And I'm glad to say that around the south of Ireland, here and there, there is a movement among Roman Catholic people to come and listen to the gospel. And I know from my visits to the south of Ireland, there is an aptitude as never before among Roman Catholics to hear what God's word has to say. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing that in this age of bitterness and in this age of darkness in the Roman Catholic Church, that God didn't send to us another Reformation and move upon this country of Ireland as never before, so that what was accomplished by the first disciple who came to Ireland, Patrick himself, who never was ordained by Rome, who never mentioned Rome, who never had a mass, who had nothing to do with Rome, but was a simple gospel preacher. I trust that God will do it again. And you should pray as you never prayed before for your Roman Catholic fellow countrymen. And you should thank God on your knees every night that you were born into a Protestant home where you got the Bible and got the Word of God. For we could have all been in chains today. But praise God, we're not in chains. For he who is made free by the Son of God is freed forever. And thank God for the freeing power of the Spirit of God. So every one of us must be an evangelist. We must go, we must witness to our Roman Catholic fellow countrymen. We must press them with the fact that Jesus Christ alone saves. There's no salvation in the church. There's no salvation in the sacraments of the church. There is no salvation through the priests and the hierarchy of popery. The only way of salvation, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby they must be saved. And I say to you today, child of God, don't you rise from your knees on any occasion when you're in prayer, but make sure you mention this island and you mention the Protestants, some of whom are against the gospel and have rejected Christ, though they've heard the message for many, many years. And also the Roman Catholic people who need to turn to the Lord. May God bless the efforts that are being made today and the movement that is being made today in the south of Ireland. And I trust we will see those whom we have working there filled with the power of God and seeing solid fruit as a result of their faithfulness to God's word. I retrace my steps to Calvary. I see one hanging there in agonies and blood. He fixed his languid eyes on me as near the cross I stood. And I hear his word, believe on me, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. God promises household salvation. Oh, may God reach down in mercy, and the God of love put out his arms and draw these young people whose lives have been wasted and destroyed by these lustful priests. I trust that he'll bring them all, for he says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. We have a responsibility. We have the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Let us discharge our duties as men and women of God to reach as many of these poor, tormented, and marked children. Let us see them won for the Savior and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that we may leave this building thanking God that we were born into a Protestant home and got the gospel. Where would we have been today if we had been born into a Roman Catholic home? Oh God, we think of these children. Their cry rises to thy throne for wrath upon those who have destroyed them and sought to damn them. We pray, our God and Father, that the whole system of Romanism will be exposed, and that man will turn to the living God. We need a revival. We need another 59. Lord, let it come. Let the revival of God burn in our hearts and keep us faithful on our knees in prayer. Hear this our cry for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, amen, amen.